Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We mentioned it before, but tomorrow, 9 a.m., Brian Robinson's going to join us.
Yes.
So we've been having Jonathan Allen on the show really the last couple of years on Tuesdays, but after he got hurt, next man up, and it's B-Rob.
That's right. It's a big name.
So you don't want to miss it.
It's a good one.
All right, join us right now for our colleague check-ins, our pal Grant Paulson, co-host of the Grant and Danny Show. And you know, Grant, we often lament on this show that we've been doing it for 28, almost 29 years, and we've had very little success from this Commanders team. You guys have been doing it for a decade plus now at this point. This is the sweetest it's been, right?
Oh, unequivocally. Yeah, I was still on the beat for the 2012 year, and everyone forgets. Now, that's the year everyone points to as the last time it was really exciting. They were 3-6
to
start
quit.
That season.
Remember, he gave up on the team.
Exactly right. Yeah, we're going to start evaluating for next year, is what he said.
Yep.
And then they ripped off the 7 in a row. But, yeah, this is not only as good as it's been at this point. I mean, you got to go back to 2008 when they started this well, and even that was kind of a house of cards. You talk to any of the players that were on that Jim Zorn team, and they're like, how are we doing this? This guy, really? We're 6-2 with him? It's just a different ball game altogether. The fact that you've got not only year one of a new regime, but the entire organization feeling different without Snyder, with a front office that's building something meaningful and impactful for the future, not just right now. And then obviously, I think in that building, they feel like they got the quarterback they've been looking for a long time.
Grant, set the scene for us in the press box. We took some calls earlier about how people reacted in the stadium or in their basements watching the game. I mean, at my house, it was pandemonium. But like in the press box, you're supposed to have some decorum and, you know,
right,
not have outbursts, you know, for if the home team does well or wins. We know you're a Commanders guy. What was that like for you trying to stifle that in? How did that play out in the press box for you?
I'm not doing a tough guy bit. Like, I didn't react at all because I was stunned. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. I was just kind of looking around
right,
silently. That was my, you know, you don't know how you're going to react to situations until they happen.
Mm-hmm.
That was mine. But I tweeted something to this effect, Cakes, but so I've been in that press box since 1999 for almost every single home game, okay? And I've never seen a moment like that where everyone's kind of packing their stuff up. Some people have already kind of started walking down the stairs or whatever, but 95% of the people are still in their seat in some way, half paying attention. And so the final play, you kind of lock in, you see, you just go through the motions, like, okay, he's going to throw it to the end zone. And the reaction was that of, like, the crowd in section 313. Not cheering, per se, but just like, oh, you know, this loud scream, oh, my God.
Well, just screwed everybody's story.
Oh, my. Well, not only that, everyone is completely screwed, no doubt about that. But they're, like, grabbing the people next to them. People are, like, turning around, like, hands on head. I mean, it was just a wild scene. I've never experienced anything like it. That was the loudest pop, I'm calling it, in the stadium that I've ever seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like, single moment, like the music hits at the Royal Rumble, the glass shatters for Stone Cold, and that pop of the crowd, like that moment of that catch, if there was a roof, it would have blown off. It was just an amazing moment. I think it was 30 plus years of that play not working for them, that not happening for them. We've seen it go the other way against them from time to time. Right, I remember Jameis Winston completing one of those passes against them for a touchdown at one point in time. But
well,
man, oh man, was it quite a to be there was awesome. I will say,
yeah, it's a little poetic justice too. And I think it also, I've been trying to make this point all morning that if it's accurate, when I searched it last night, these things happen at like a 1 in 12. It's like an 8-9% clip, like Hail Mary's success, a little higher than you imagine. In fact, they had even hyped up during the broadcast Caleb's, you know, win at Gonzaga over DeMatha on a Hail Mary. A little poetic justice there if you're a Stag. I don't know. Like, we should be more prepared for these. Like, as fans, they've eliminated the onside kick, right? They've taken it out. It's a 1 in a million shot. These Hail Marys actually happen a little more than people realize.
Well, I'll say this. I think I can think of two this year. Rodgers had one earlier this year and this one, and there have been, I'm sure, dozens attempted.
Mm-hmm.
So the percentage is not high. But to your point, when they are executed, like, what's funny about that is it looked easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's done correctly, you go, how does that not work,
Grant,
more?
I'm telling you, if you Google it, if Google is correct, they say it's 1 in 12 over the last 10 years. which is like 8 or 9%.
Yeah, that is
crazy.
Shocking.
It's way higher than we realize. And that's why if you're Tyreek Stevenson or whatever the guy's name is, mm-hmm. you can't have your back turned to the play for the first 5 seconds of it.
Idiotic.
Oh, well, what a clown shoe that guy
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
I mean, not only was, you know, in football, this is going to happen, but he and Terry are going back and forth and shouting at each other. But, I mean, he had completely decided the game was over before the final play, which is hysterical. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I would just add this color from talking to some of the guys yesterday. Like, they actually ran a play. I mean, I think people think it was just a throw it down there and see what happens. Now, they don't draw it up to that effect, but the idea of that play is Noah Brown is behind a body of people and you're looking for a tip that eventually he can go athletically rebound, and it worked out. So it was less like, I think, backyard ball than you think. And the key to the play, obviously, was the kid, Jaden Daniels, running around for 12.7 seconds to buy them the time, not only to get down the field, but for everybody to park. And when everyone's standing there, now you're just doing that backyard, like playing 500 with your friends, and there's a much better chance than guys trying to get down there as you're heaving it.
Hey, Grant, my second favorite play of the game was when Shane Waldron was on the one, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to give the ball to DeAndre Swift. I'm not even going to give it to Roschon Johnson to get in from the one. I'm going to hand the ball to Doug Kramer Jr., who wears number 68. I think that's a good play, and he promptly just coughs the ball right up to the Commanders. I mean, I was slapping my knee. I think my knees were still red from that one.
What a goose.
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about it. They had a bye week coming into this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had 2 weeks to draw that one up,
right.
That fullback dive to a lineman. Here's how I need coordinators, play callers, to operate at the goal line. Is there a fat guy wearing a number in the 60s who looks like me? If the answer is yes, let's not hand him the ball and ask him to plow through anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't believe that. They have, think about the weapons on this team. They have DJ Moore. Keenan Allen is one of the great goal line red zone receivers of his era. They have Roma Dunze, who they just drafted in the top 10. In the backfield, they're three deep. They've got a pass-catching back. Your plan is some dude wearing a number in the 60s, getting the ball, when everyone is piled up for a shoving match, and he's going to make some people miss? I mean, what are you doing? That was absolutely ridiculous.
Insanity.
You know, you mentioned the defense there a little bit, and I have to say, I said it to Keim earlier, I kind of been tweeting about it the last, you know, day or two. I gave up on the defense. I gave up on the defense at about the first quarter of week one. I was like, oh, wow, it's going to be one of those years. And I've just been stunned at their turnaround. All the credit in the world to Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, all those guys back there. They kind of figured out whatever it is that they're doing. They seem to be filling their gaps better, whatever the hell it is, the jargon. They're tackling. They're playing physical. I mean, Frankie Louvu. People said, you're going to love Frankie Louvu. And I was like, yeah, okay. No, we love Frankie Louvu.
Yep.
Me, 100% we love him. I don't know. I actually am just kind of stunned at the turnaround.
It's been pretty significant. I think a lot of people wanted to dismiss it outright because Carolina stinks.
Yeah.
Because Deshaun Watson was unserious. Like, it was just a bad couple of teams. And when they last played a good offense in Baltimore, they got worked again. But they're clearly way better than they were, to your point, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who was here remembers the Tampa game when they gave up 37, or even the Cincy game when they gave up the 33. I mean, it was just how many times is the other team can have the ball? That's how many times they're going to score, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not that anymore. You know, at corner, I think they've gotten a lot better. The changes they've made where Noah Igbinoghene is playing the slot and they kick Sanders still is really more of a nickel outside. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's better than it was. That was a really savvy adjustment, kind of making the most with what you've got. Benjamin St. Juste is ultra competitive and has really good moments. He had the PI, he gets handsy. I understand that with him, he's a corner two, basically moonlighting as a corner one, and it's not always going to be clean. Having said that, he is a willing, physical, lengthy guy.
Like him.
Saw him on the 4th-and-1 blow a play up. Like, he does some good things. So I think at that position where they really need help, and if at the trade deadline they want to target something, they could probably really use another body. They've gotten better, and it's fueled the whole thing. The other thing is, EB, how about their pass rush?
Right.
Now, it hadn't been great. I'm not suggesting it has, but I thought it was really good yesterday. They moved Caleb all over the place, off his mark constantly. Fowler's come on. big time the last few weeks. I think Dorrance Armstrong coming back, you know, Cleveland Farrell flashes. It's not – they don't have a guy. They don't have anybody who's going to go get 13, 14 sacks. But it's also not as inept as it was in the first few weeks, and I think the combination of those two things give you a chance to play probably middle-of-the-pack defense. If you can do that with this offense, you're going to win a lot of games, and they've won six of their last seven now.
Talking to our pal Grant Paulson from the Grant and Danny Show. You can listen to every day at 2.
It's hard to imagine. He's right. We've won six of our last seven.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good streak.
It's kind of hard to process that.
Yep. 6-2. Yeah. Second best record in the NFC. Grant, I saw one of your tweets, and it made me think that for years, Cakes and I did a post-game show or pre-game show, and we would show up at Glory Days or wherever we were doing the show from, and you'd see just a couple of jerseys, and usually it would be Chris Cooley, or it might be
Riggins.
It would be an old school jersey,
like old
right?
Jerseys.
And you took a picture of three guys walking out with their Jaden Daniels jerseys, right?
Oh yeah, tags hanging out the back.
Yeah,
by the way,
love it.
They
love
had like that. You know when you go to a store and you get like whatever that like I always call it a Food Lion bag. That's not what it is, but that like plastic bag mm-hmm. that you know they put your jersey in. So they're carrying those in their hands. They got the tag still dangling down their back from the jersey, and they had pristine brand new fives. It was four guys all. It was like I was like, these guys all came in Jaden Daniels jerseys, and I realized when I get past me, no, they just bought them. So they go straight from watching the Hail Mary hugging strangers to the team store to stand in line for their jersey. Which brings me to this, guys. Danny and I have been talking about this, but I want to bounce this off of you. I don't think the name's changing.
I don't think
I've
so either.
I've said that for a couple years.
I'm the lone guy.
I got like a $100 bet with Cakes. So I've
really?
Said it for years.
I don't hate it as much as Danny because I know Danny's like life mission is for them to change the name.
Yeah.
But I'm not that far behind because I think the name's terrible, but it's definitely on the way back burner.
It's terrible. Everyone agrees. Yeah. It blows. But if you win, no one cares.
Right.
So, and that's kind of my thing. So I was EB before this season. I don't want to say adamant, but I was very confident because they knew. They were doing research, and they realized nobody likes this name or very few people. Mm-hmm. In fact, the people that like the name are going to like whatever the next name is. You could name him the EBs, and those same guys would get the EB T-shirts and be there tailgating, you know, at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. And so I thought, well, eventually they're just going to change this thing, assuming they don't have a year where they're good. But when you have moments like that, like what just happened, when you're 6-2 – with each of these wins, and by the way, the jersey purchases, and you're all over Sunday Night Football, and the Commanders are the talk of the league.
Yeah, you get used to it.
It's not going to change.
It's solidifying a bad brand is what it is.
Listen, and look, we had a caller, and I know it's a hashtag, but we had a caller earlier go, HTTC, hail to the city. Like, it's becoming a thing.
Right. I'll say this, too. In the parking lot last night, walking out, and it was such a cool scene, guys. I mean, you would have had a blast. It was just, you know, that euphoric feeling of everyone just high-fiving strangers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But everyone's – I'm not kidding. If I saw five groups of people, like, reenacting the final play or yelling about what happened, I saw 50. I mean, it was just that kind of – no one wanted to go home. But what's funny is a couple different listeners, as I'm walking to my car, yell, left hand up. And it's like – I get to my car and I'm like, this stupid name is gonna be here forever.
Look, when they win like that, I've said this for years, winning cures all.
You don't even care
so
about
you're gonna
the stadium.
Hear people not complaining about the stadium, the traffic, the team name, all that stuff goes away. People just want to be part of the winning.
Well, did you guys hear about last week the cable that fell down?
Yes.
So, I mean, the symbolism of that to me is everything. Like, literally the cable falls down, and I'm watching. I'm in the second row of the box, and all the writers and the people that cover the team are, like, starting to type into Twitter or whatever, like, a cable has fallen at this stadium. And as this is happening, Dante Fowler's pick six occurs, literally. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, it's like, well, no one cares about
anymore.
This.
Yeah.
Dante Fowler, pick six. Washington takes 7-0 lead. And like, that to me was everything where I'm like, in a normal year, the Panthers score on that moment.
Yeah.
And now everyone's mad. And instead, they're jumping up and down with the cable over their head gleefully, you know, waiting for someone to come fix it as they're 7-0 leaders on their way to 5-2.
Well, Grant, tell Danny to enjoy it. Sometimes he's a tortured soul. We're all tortured souls to an extent. Enjoy the run. Winning is awesome. We're not going to get many from the Wizards. The Caps are improved. The Nationals, it's been a long rebuild. It's been a long time. Enjoy this in the moment.
It. We're all embracing it. How can you not?
Yeah, this is a blast. Yeah. There's no doubt. Danny, I have not talked to him yet. I look forward to seeing him today. But his Twitter yesterday the whole time was like, impending doom. Can't wait for the gut punch. Yeah. There it is. It's over. Yeah. My life is over. Yeah. And then he was like, I take everything back.
it's pretty special. And honestly, people calling in crying.
I know. People are very emotional.
You know, this is what it used to be like, Grant. I know you're younger, but I'm sure your parents remember. I mean, you might even remember when you were little.
No. My earliest memories, EB, are like Richie Pettibone.
not good.
Early Norville Eugene. Yeah, I have no file on this.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy.
See you, fellas.
Thanks, right. Jeeps.
We did our first remote from Pettibones in Oakton,
yes.
Virginia.
Many, many moons ago.
Yep. All right. Hey, it's good to hear from Grant Paulson. It's a big Paulson day. We've got Logan Paulson joining us at 9. He's one of the best at breaking down the film. Of course, he is the co-host of the Take Command podcast. He will join us at 9 o'clock here on The Junkies.